Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yeah, let's go.
Now, before we get to some big stuff out of football, there's some stuff that just gets crazier and crazier every day. I'm going to give you a big-time guaranteed prediction in sports that I know is going to happen.
Wow.
It's
just
a big
like
one.
The Aaron Rodgers one? I mean, you got to rebound from that, buddy.
No, buddy, I told you the Bucs were going to the finals. And they were going to win. I told you they were going to play the Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Are you kidding? My powers of prognostication are fantastic.
Yeah, but the Aaron Rodgers really trumps all of it.
Well, he spent
more time on that.
He blew it. Aaron Rodgers just blew it. He had everything, and he decided, I'll go back.
He had nothing.
To go to the Broncos.
No leverage, no opportunity. Bad job by him.
He had everything. All you do is not show up.
Well, then he would have had to pay back $23 million plus.
Don't show up. No, they would have been traded.
All right, he would have had to pay back like $11 million, and then he wouldn't have earned another $23.
No, all he had to do was not show up. They would have traded him. It would have been fine.
I wanted people to keep asking him, hey, you know, all these guys they let go that you love so much, why didn't you give up some of your money? I'll go offline to hear your answer.
But I did this after just seeing the trailer for Three Billboards, right? When I told you, Frances McDormand, I just saw the trailer. Frances McDormand's going to win Best Actress Oscar. It's easy. Just by seeing the trailer, I could tell she's going to win. And what happened? Frances McDormand won. The trailer for King Richard dropped today, which is the story of Richard Williams, Venus and Serena's dad, and who turned them into two of the greatest tennis players that we've ever seen. Will Smith is playing Richard Williams. I just saw the trailer today. I guarantee you Will Smith is winning Best Actor for this movie at the next Oscars. It doesn't come out till November. You can already tell it's an Oscar movie because Oscar movies come out in November, the end of the year, and that's when this is coming out. The trailer came out, and it looks fantastic. He looks really impressive in it as Richard Williams. I mean, he's doing his Will Smith thing, but with a really good slant on it where he's even talking like Richard Williams. You can tell he's impressive. The movie looks fantastic. The movie looks absolutely fantastic. The Rise of the Williams Sisters, it looks amazing. And most importantly, what do I tell you about Oscars for actor and actress and director? When can Hollywood reward someone for the career they've had and the money they've made for the industry? That's when people win Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Director. When it's like a Lifetime Achievement Award. And this is now when they can give Will Smith that award for all the bleeping money he has made for Hollywood for the past 30 years, which is a lot of it. And he has had a big and huge career. This is a guarantee. This is a fastball down the middle at 75 miles an hour that I am smoking over the fence in left center field. The apple comes up. The Mets win. Will Smith wins Best Actor for King Richard for all of those reasons. He's great. The movie looks great. And you can reward him for the career he's had. All of those things are falling in. Will Smith is your Best Actor Oscar winner.
Wow, I dig that. There'll be a number of jokes about Gemini Man when he gets up there. And once Suicide Squad 2 makes all sorts of money, saying, why didn't you come back? Interesting note in the production notes of this is that for filming in California, they got a 20% tax credit. How about that?
Yeah, you usually got to go to Atlanta for that. That's where the big tax credit is. It's in Atlanta.
A lot of money. So, yeah. You know, they had $36 million off the jump, and they got like $7.5 back. I will note that I want to see if we get supporting actor nods for Tony Goldwyn. Do you know who Tony Goldwyn is?
Of course. You think I don't know who Tony Goldwyn is? Are you kidding?
That was a question
Come
to
on,
America,
man.
But certainly to you.
Everybody knows Tony Goldwyn. Who is this? Sam. I mean, that's
exactly.
30 years old, but that's everybody knows Tony Goldwyn.
No, that's good. Good job by you. And Dylan McDermott is in there as well.
Wait,
and
Dermot Mulroney or Dylan McDermott?
Dylan McDermott.
You're sure it's not Dermot Mulroney?
I'm sure.
You're positive?
Yes.
Don't be wrong about that.
No, 100%.
Okay.
He had the mutton chops and everything. It was great.
Yeah. John Bernthal's in it, too, from Walking Dead.
See, I've never seen an episode, so that's good.
Oh, it looks so good.
You've force fed me some visuals of it while we've been in the studio together, but I can honestly say since we've been apart in the virtual Fox Sports Radio studios, it's never crossed my screen.
No, here's Walking Dead. This is a perfect analogy for you. Walking Dead is Miguel Cabrera. Okay.
Oh, okay.
The first few years of Miguel Cabrera's career, my goodness, how great the guy was, right? How he has been. He was unbelievable and maybe the best hitter that I've seen. And what's happened the last 6 or 7 years? Well, he's getting paid a lot of money. He's not healthy. He's not hitting. That's Walking Dead. For the first couple of seasons, Walking Dead was unbelievably good. I can't tell you how great it was. And then after, it's like the new piece of social currency was, when did you stop watching Walking Dead? Oh, I stopped right after the Negan stuff. Oh, I'd even make it past Negan. Like, that's a big piece of social currency. When did you stop watching Walking Dead? Because now I don't know anybody that watches Walking Dead. And you just watch the viewership fall little bit by bit. Bit by bit. That's kind of Walking Dead. It's the Miguel Cabrera of television shows.
There you go. And yes, Miguel Cabrera is still hitting on occasion, folks.
Yeah, they won today 17-14.
Look at that.
I mean, the Tigers scored 17 runs today. 17 runs. Guess who wasn't in the lineup today?
Well,
Miguel Cabrera.
You know, that's okay.
17 runs. And TJ.
He still got to cheer him on, buddy.
A touchdown pass late by Goff gives the Tigers the win over Minnesota and Kirk Cousins, 17-14, DJ.
Nicely done. I am now in a long, protracted fantasy auction league, you know, one of these expert leagues I'm in.
Oh, okay.
And it's, you know, you bid on the guy, and then it's 24 hours, you know, before, you know, and the clock resets and all. Should I add Jared Goff?
No, come on, man, dude. Jared Goff stinks. Jared Goff stinks.
What if I can get him for $1 as my backup?
Add James Morgan. He's going to wind up being the starting quarterback of the Jets because they can't get Zach Wilson's contract.
There is some potential to be had there. There's no question about it.
Oh, listen, we're going to laugh at the Jets coming up in a few minutes, because if you can't laugh at the Jets, well, then who can you laugh at?
Well, and we'll have one of our friends on who does more laughing at the Jets than any person we know.
Absolutely. But you want to talk about the craziness that's, I don't want to say it's fallen under the radar, but I think because we get craziness every day, we get desensitized to it. But what's going on in college football the past few days, and judging by the big two stories today, something's got to happen. Someone's got to throw the emergency brake on college football. Today, the Big 12 has alleged that ESPN is trying to destabilize the league by putting forth these stories about Texas and Oklahoma wanting to join the SEC. Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, says, "I have certainty that ESPN's been involved in manipulating other conferences to go after our members," because obviously ESPN owns the SEC network. So here's Bob Bowlesby saying ESPN is trying to push teams to get to the SEC network because they own them. Okay, that's today's story. That's insane, right? That's absolutely insane, right? Then you get the story of Quinn Ewers, who was a high school quarterback who was contemplating skipping his final year of high school so he can go right to college and start cashing in on name, image, likeness. Can't do it in high school in Texas. I can do it in college. So he may be skipping his final year to be an early enrollee so he can start making and raking in the name, image, likeness money. All right, every day with college football, a story comes out that I say, I just can't believe it. I can't believe this. And we're getting desensitized to it because the craziness knows no bounds. Nothing is going to stop. And seeing college football now, and what's going on? This is just the last couple of days, right? On the heels of this a week ago was the conference realignment for Texas and Oklahoma, the playoff expansion that potentially is going to upset a lot of people, the name, image, likeness continuing to run amok. College football is where Major League Baseball was in the early 1900s. Where it was, and this shows you how much further in the past college football is. Because the sport is run by power brokers and commissioners and people in charge of conferences that are solely doing what's best for them, right? That's all you're seeing. The SEC says, well, it helps us to get Texas and Oklahoma, but it hurts the rest of college football. We don't care. It helps us. Oh, okay. And all of this is happening, and college football entirely is like the Wild West. There are no rules. This was Major League Baseball in the early 1900s, right, where you had gamblers that were influencing things, and you had, like I said, you had power brokers who were this is where baseball was. And what did baseball do? They said, you know what? We need somebody who can kind of be in charge of things and have absolute power, like a commissioner. Hey, great idea. Kennesaw Mountain Landis becomes the first commissioner of Major League Baseball, and we've had commissioners running sports now ever since, right? He came in to clean up the fallout from the Black Sox and the 1919 World Series scandal, and he stayed on and realized that, hey, someone being in charge of the sport is actually a pretty good idea. Now, you can talk about the idea of he's more friendly with the owners and with the players, but still, sports are better when you have a commissioner making decisions. College football doesn't have that. Again, it's power brokers and it's people running different conferences. And who has more power? Is it the people running the SEC? Is it people running the Big 12? This is what college football needs because it's running off the rails. They need a power structure which involves one person as the commissioner and then you, whatever you have under you and people are working there. But you need one person that's making decisions for college football because if you don't, this is all what's going to happen. Right, they couldn't control name, image, likeness. They couldn't control the playoff. They couldn't. They can't control anything because there's no real leadership. Who's in charge? People think the NCAA is in charge of the college football playoff. They're not. There's nobody is in charge of anything. It's like walking into an office going, "Who's in charge? What do you mean no one's in charge? How do things get done? I don't know how we kick off every year in college football. But college football needs a commissioner so badly. They need somebody, and they need to change their power structure where it's a person who comes in. These are my decisions, and whether you have a board that votes on things, however it is, but you need some kind of power structure where it's not, hey, Bob Bowlesby just lost because, you know, he's only the commissioner of the Big 12 and clearly he's not big enough to as the SEC is. ESPN potentially is a bigger power broker. I mean, you need somebody in there that can make these decisions. That's the only thing that's going to stop college football from continuing to be like a crazy train going off the rails.
I will say it, nicely done. Get a little Ozzy in because Sam and I were actually talking about Ozzy and Geezer Butler and the whole nine yards a few minutes ago. That's just crazy, like you were listening to our conversation. With Bob Bowlesby, I do need to write him a letter so I can get something back with that signature on it because that's one of the greatest signature I've ever seen. Like, my older brother's got a good one that has a lot of just, like, little waves to it. This one is next level. But you mentioned NIL. You got the transfer portal. You've got all of these realignment gymnastics, and certainly going forward, I mean, absolute chaos as this relates to potential lawsuits. I mean, the Bowlesby letter and everything that went out is like, okay, we are going to have a very long, litigious process here because now we get into discovery of what has ESPN been doing, and can you prove these things? Dennis Dodd just tweeted out at the top of the hour, after the last round of realignment, the Big 12 bylaws were rewritten to be binding for 99 years based on ancient English ground lease strategy. And that Texas and OU agreed to them. I don't know if he's in jest or if that's true. I'd love to see the piece of paper that has that in it. But, you know, he signed these things thinking, it'll never come up. We're the big, you know, head honchos here and move forward. But no, hey, here's an opportunity to go and get even more money and power for your schools and everything that trickles down from there. Yeah, it's a big deal. I think if you can get Greg Sankey to take a pay cut from his role as the head of the SEC, he'd be your perfect guy because clearly he's a power broker that moves in stealth mode, man. So, like, he's the guy I'm looking for. If I want a guy in charge and who can get stuff done quickly with no waves, like, nobody saw any ripples. I mean, he came in complete stealth mode. Boom! Here we go. We got these guys applying for membership. He's the guy. He is your perfect commissioner. It's either that or Vince McMahon. But that's just me wanting Vince McMahon to hold press conferences.
Vince McMahon, right? That would
this be, is
I would want to just see that press
the
conference.
The SEC!
And here comes the Pac-12!
My right Larry, hand man, Larry Triple
Scott
H.
Larry Scott comes running out with a folding chair to hit people with.
No. Larry Scott is a jobber. Okay, he is the journeyman wrestler. You know, he's you know the late great Barry O.
He's the guy that would wrestle on Saturday morning in the big match where there's a bigger star.
But no, that's what I mean. He's the prelim bum. That's right.
Yeah. He would make it to make it look like it was a big deal on Saturday morning, like Special Delivery Jones would wrestle against the Iron
Superstars.
Like, oh, wow, yeah. Really? Yeah. But really, yeah, that Larry Scott when he was in charge of the Pac-12, yeah, that's who he would have been.
That was his gig.
you need a power structure, man. College football's got to have a commissioner. I don't know who it is, but they have to do it because that's the only thing that's going to save the sport, or it's going to be stuff like this every other day. Every other day, we're going to get it. 877-99 on Fox Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, so could Deshaun Watson really be traded? Did Aaron Rodgers really get what he wanted from the Packers? The answer is no. Is Zach Wilson really going to hold out from the Jets? Please tell me it's not going to happen. We get into all that and more right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Shohei Ohtani, home run number 37 on the year for
37?
Shut up. Wow. Angels lead at 6-3 over the Rockies in the bottom of the fourth inning. There are many big NFL stories. We're going to get as many as we can right now with our next guest joining us on the hotline. He is a longtime NFL insider. He is the editor-in-chief at fansided.com. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, and he is a big-time best-selling author. His new book, Robert Saleh, Relentlessly Trying to Get Zach Wilson Under Contract, will come out any day now. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you buy books. It is Jason Cole. J. Cole, what's happening, my friend?
Okay, so over on how many actual football stories we touch on in the next, 10 or 12 minutes?
3.5.
Ooh,
well, are we going to really?
Hot.
I mean,
I'm going under on that one.
Because you're going to spend the whole time making fun of the Jets being the only team to not have their quarterback under contract.
Well, considering the fact that this was their gigantic move, and Zach's mom's got it going on, and all of those things that go with drafting a quarterback. Like, what are you arguing about this for? Like, offset language? I always love it when you argue about language in a contract in a preset system, right? It means you're telling the player, by the way, we spent all this fanfare and money and draft picks and all these things that we did to go get you, but we're not really sure that you're going to make it. So, so we're a little worried about what's going to happen 5 years down. Like, that's so jet. I can't believe it.
The same thing happened with Sam Darnold 3 years ago. He missed 3 days of camp because of offset language.
Moron. Look, and I know in the grand scheme of things, three days in camp doesn't determine whether you make it or whether you don't. But it is a bad way to start off a relationship or marriage, per se, with somebody who you think is going to be the face of your franchise, and his mom, by the way. I love the groan every time you hear about Zach's mom and how she's got it going on. It's just like it's being killed with 1,000 paper cuts sound. That's what it is.
The Jets can't have nice things.
No.
We can't have one day where we just make it easy. Oh, we're slotted for draft picks. Yes, right. Okay, great. But if
slotted,
we move on
slotted
from
system,
you,
standardized language, the only thing you're arguing about at this point in time is the long-term payoffs and the payback language at the end of the contract in case the guy doesn't make it. Yep, that's really smart.
No, and the thing is that it's not like the Jets are the only team that does offset language. Like 30 other teams do it, but yet they all find a way to get their draft picks in.
We're not the only what do I do about this? You're the only ones who were stupid enough to draft a quarterback and celebrate him this much and talk about how you got destiny, and then you decide, are you really going to make it? Are you going to be good? I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I'm just not. I mean, you're quibbling over a couple of million dollars. Like, it's nothing in the grand scheme of the NFL when you're talking about over a five-year period of time. Over the next 5 years, the Jets are going to spend more than $1 billion. That's with a B. They're going to spend more than $1 billion on contracts. It's going to be closer to, like, $1.1 billion. And you are arguing over what amounts to about $2 million.
Jets
yeah,
going to jet,
about
yo.
Right.
Jets going to jet.
Okay. Moving on.
All right. There's one.
What can
We're
I say?
One down.
My team is a laughing stock. This is what we. This is. I exist.
Shall we go to Aaron Rodgers now? When do you want?
Yeah. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers.
I just want you to know. I want you to feel better and appreciate me, J. Cole, because I exist as a Jet fan to make everybody else feel better about their teams.
Every terrible team. Look, you're a person who vacations in Detroit.
Yes, I do.
That says everything that we didn't know. How many times did you go around Detroit and go, Detroit Rock City? Yeah, did you do that? How many times?
When it's cut off sweatshirt.
And I'm way, it's a way over. I'm so far under with 3.5. It's unbelievable how far. You did it at least 47 times.
And I did drive over 8 miles to get to work because I worked out of Detroit. I drove over 8 miles to get to work.
Did you pass by Motown?
And no, say, Barry no, no, no. Lives. Come on. Well, you know me. I went to White Castle. That's me. I go to Detroit so I can go to White Castle.
I heard that story last week. Got caught speeding to White Castle because you couldn't get there fast enough.
I'm so street, man. I got pulled over going to White Castle. I tell you, man, I have all kinds of street cred, man.
Detroit cops looked at you and go, "Really? You're from California?" Like they even asked what you were doing there.
Wait, I know this guy. He comes all the time. All right, so I guess we go and we talk to the Aaron Rodgers. What did he really win in all this, J. Cole? Because he's still under center with no guarantees, as best I can read.
Well, I mean, he gets out in a year. I mean, look, again, we've said it, you know, we talked about it probably 4 or 5 times.
Man.
Unless you're willing to go the distance, right, and do every hateful thing that you can possibly do to destroy your team, to get out of it and destroy the relationship with that team, you're not going to get everything that you want, okay? So you're going to be stuck. And the best thing that he got is he's, by all accounts, out after 1 year, all right? And if he's really out after 1 year, it's peaceable, okay? It's you know, make it work for one more year and grin and bear it. Well, you know, that's better than retiring and wasting a year and then having to go through this whole thing a year from now with them and play the, you know, go through the dance a year from now. But, you know, yeah, he didn't get exactly what he wanted, but he was never going to get that unless he publicly stood out in, like, the middle of the Jeopardy stage and said, Brian Gutekunst is a terrible human being who I can never work for again, and Matt LaFleur is second only to him. That's the only way he was going to get out. If he had said, as his part of his tribute to Alex Trebek, the late Alex Trebek, had said, I hate the Packers, that's the only thing he was going to do. And he wasn't brave enough to do that, and I don't blame him, because you don't need to ruin your legacy just because you're in a hissy fit with two people. And one in particular, but the other one you're not real happy with either.
Jason Cole, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so while Aaron Rodgers is still trying to figure out what's next for him, we're seeing now – the controversy of the anti-vax players in the NFL really start to rear its head. You know, Ron Rivera talked yesterday. It's very frustrating. We want to get to 85%. Cole Beasley is the poster guy for this, saying, and we need more information. The information's out there. We want to be safe. The vaccines make you safe. All of these things. I said this last night, and I said it again tonight. You show me a player that doesn't want to get vaccinated, and I'll show you a guy who believes conspiracy theories. What do you make of all this, the anti-vax stance from the players?
I don't think it's quite – I mean, look, I would say a significant portion of the guys who are not vaccinated, yes, they do believe that Fauci works for either Moderna or Pfizer. They really do – they believe that. And they believe that Fauci started this and with a home chemistry kit that he took over to China to work out in the streets of Wuhan. Right. Like those are that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about for a sizable portion of that. Some of them really do worry about what are they putting in their bodies. And I, you know, again, I don't blame them for that. But these are all individual concerns. And you play a team sport. I think we said this, I said it last week. You know, if you want to be part of a team and you want to be part of a collective that's trying to, make money, you know, win games, make money, entertain people, get people to show up and watch you play, and B, trying to win a championship, which one of the 32 will do, you got to sacrifice at some point in time. You got to sacrifice for the greater good. Which I wish more people in the United States understood that philosophy as well. But we are the land of the great individualist. So there you go.
And then we go down to Houston, where all eyes, and I saw pretty much every Houston scribe just
saying. You're
working
so hard to get over the over, aren't you? You're really trying to make the over.
No, it was all about watching number. I placed a bet.
Deshaun Watson.
Well, what else do you want me to ask about it? Are they going to get to a percentage? What's the over-under on guys going to get fined? I mean, we could do that if we want.
Listen, Cole is just going to refuse to answer the question so we could stay under.
I was on the phone with my bookie.
We would get a push. Yeah, but we would get a push because this would be half a question. You not answering it leaves us at a push.
They call this a filibuster. This is what the Republicans are going to do during the 1-6 investigation. Filibuster, let's do this. Oh, let go. All right, Deshaun Watson, what's the question?
Philadelphia, we keep getting those reports of, hey, they really are looking at him. We're not going to get deposed until February. The NFL's not made any ruling on anything.
He's not testifying at the 1-6 investigation. Oh, that's right. It's a different thing. Sorry, I lost my mind for a second. Deshaun Watson was not in Washington, D.C. that day.
No.
Look, I think Houston doesn't want to deal with this problem. And they've just – this thing has – they're realizing that this is a gigantic PR mess, which – it just tells you that, you know, the Jack Easterby, you know, fantastic journey, you know, Flying Jack's, you know, Happy Circus or Crazy Jack's Flying Circus or whatever they call it. This is just a listless ship in the Gulf of Mexico waiting for the next hurricane to just destroy it, right, on the way to Houston. They plotted it out really poorly to maximize what he's worth, because now they're stuck with a problem that is ugly and smelly, and they got a distraction, and they've got a new coach, and like this team is headed, you know, they're headed for Jetland, okay? Like they're going to be 1-15 or 2-14. Like that's just what they're going to be, because they haven't figured out what they're going to do with this amazing asset who is worth so much to rebuilding this organization. And they've gotten a late start as a result of it. So, you know, they will eventually trade him. They'll probably get 3 ones or some version of that, and a 3 and, you know, some starting player, something like that. And, you know, they'll be lucky if they come out of this with that. And Deshaun Watson's probably going to sit some games during the season, something else that's going to happen. But some other team's going to have control of Deshaun Watson for pretty much the next 10 years. And that's a good thing. That really is, because he's not going to miss the rest of his career because of this. I mean, it's tawdry, it's ugly, it's kind of disgusting, and it makes you think, what kind of common sense does Deshaun Watson have? But we've already talked about that evidently he doesn't have very much. But he can play football, and somebody's going to enjoy watching him play football for them, and it's not going to be the Houston Texans.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. That is at JasonCole62. We got in four topics in the conversation. And you said everything you wanted to say about the Jets.
I have more.
You know what? Since we got in four topics.
Here's the bet.
Yeah.
You know, from since it's Olympics time and since we've got, you know, gymnastics and all these judge sports, right? Under, over on... If you had five international judges, including, of course, the Russian judge, would they consider Zach Wilson, when it's all said and done, better or worse than Richard Todd?
Well, then.
Who is Richard Todd? Who is Richard Todd? Wasn't he one of Elizabeth Taylor's husbands? No, that was Mike Todd and Richard Harris. Richard Todd, quarterback for the Jets.
Richard Burton, too.
I still have not forgiven Richard Todd for the Mud Bowl. Just to let you know, I have not forgiven him for that.
That Richard Todd is sort of the signature Jet of your lifetime.
He had good hair.
The only thing he ever did of note was take Steve Serby and, like, push him into a locker. That's all that he ever did.
That's how New York rolled, man. That's how.
I had no idea. Next time I see Steve, I'll have to ask about that.
His book, Elway.
Call Serby, he'll tell you all about it.
His book, Elway, Relentless Life, available right now, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books. Jason Cole, Pro Football Hall of Fame writer, trying to keep all the Cowboys he can out of the Hall of Fame. Jay Cole, as always, thank you, my friend.
I'm working on it. Later, bye.
See you, buddy.
There goes Jay Cole. We did get four topics in.
I got my over.
You got
well, I mean, I wasn't going to end on the vaccination. It's like, all right, not that that's a much more positive story, but
the number
of people that are like, people are salivating to trade for Deshaun Watson. I'm like, really? Really?
Did you live bet during the interview of four topics, like in Vegas? Like, you know, we set the over under three.
Did
you live bet to try to get there?
You know, I've created some new channels of revenue for us and for the show. Some of it involves live betting because that really went against the grain. There's no chance anybody other than me would have taken the over on that. Now, obviously, I have somewhat perfect information as I'm helping to drive said conversation. But, you know, J. Cole's really good about going back and just taking the club back to the Jets instead of answering your question. In this case, he gave us an answer.
Yeah.
It was cogent, coherent argument.
Twitter at @AboutAFresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, hey, the first big trade ahead of the Major League Baseball deadline is coming up, and boy, is it a doozy. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Where we are less than 48 hours away from the trade deadline in Major League Baseball, and already the first big trade is going down. The deal is being finalized tonight. The Yankees are set to get Joey Gallo from the Texas Rangers. This from Jeff Passan. The deal is pending a medical review, expected to be made official on Thursday. The Rangers are going to get six minor league players, six prospects in this. You're getting a 6-4-1 deal. And look, the Rangers are getting some pretty decent prospects, but the Yankees, they're winning this because they're getting a guy who is 27 years old, one of the best left-handed power hitters in the game. Since the we're checking the baseball a little bit more, Joey Gallo has been incredibly good. He's been just as good in the past 6 weeks as he was the first 2.5 months of the season. Gallo's 27. It's like they're getting Mark Teixeira again, who all he did was rake and hit dingers for years with the jet stream in right field at Yankee Stadium. Joey Gallo's going to be that guy. He's under team control for another year after this. They're going to keep him. He's the next great left-handed power hitter. He's going to spend the rest of his career with the Yankees. This is a great move because you're getting a young guy for the next 7 years who's just going to rake and hit dingers. That's all he's going to do. This is a great, great trade for the Yankees.
It's a good first step, right? Still have to make some adjustments to the rotation, maybe a little more middle relief help, whatever your fancy is there, because I know your dad's not happy, and I'm sure Yankee fans are still saying, what else you got, Cashman? Keep working. Gallo comes in, and he gives him the bat we've been talking about, right? We've been waiting on where's the big left-handed power hitter to come in and bolster the middle of that lineup, and now, well, they've done it. You know, take advantage of the porch there and get the uptick in runs. Maybe that means you don't have to, since you've given up six prospects and really don't have – you didn't have any of those A-list prospects that we've been used to in the Yankee organization, right? All those highly heralded names all these years. It's not that. These were a bunch of guys that maybe one of those six will get over and become anything more than a well, you're hoping for an everyday player out of them. But for Gallo, you look at the power numbers, and as you say, just entering the power prime should be a lot of big days ahead, and I would expect an announcement of an extension before too long, and then, you know, you fortified things in a division where offense, you got to at least be able to match the bats.
And the thing is that the Yankees clearly getting pitching at the deadline is going to be difficult, right? Because there's only a couple of big difference makers. There's a lot of guys like Rich Hill, right? If you're a team like the Mets and, boy, you don't know when your guys are coming back, you need guys that can give you five innings a night. You can't keep saying, hey, you know, we're going to go with an opener. Oh, my God, all you do is just gas your bullpen. I can't stand that. But there's a couple of guys. Look, if Berrios gets traded, maybe he gets traded. Maybe he doesn't. There's not a lot of pitching out there, so the Yankees doing the next best thing. Okay, if there's not pitching, let's go out and we can outslug everybody. And, you know, if we have one good pitcher, and that's Gerrit Cole, we can get to a series where he can start two or three times. All right, we'll take a chance right with that. Because, look, when you get to the postseason, your starting pitching becomes a little bit less important because guys only go a certain number of innings before the bullpen takes over. Yeah, it's great to have three great starters, but it's not that big a deal. And if the Yankees can outslug their way into the playoffs, which is clearly what they're going to try to do, they'll be fine in the postseason. I thought they were going to be sellers. They're buyers. This is a great, great move because not only are they getting a guy that's going to help them this year, they got a guy, I'm telling you, he's going to spend the next 7 or 8 years with the Yankees in Yankee Stadium.
How does this make you feel?
Oh, I don't care. The Mets are still better. I'm happy. I don't care.
Well, I mean, that was the question, right?
Is, yeah.
You know, because you eventually your dad will I know he's out in Syracuse and vacationing, you know, which is not quite as odd as Detroit, but, you know, hey, whatever gets you through. And then he's going to recognize it, and he and Fabiano and all of your jackass buddies will then start coming around telling you how the power has shifted and the Mets now stink.
No, that's not happening. Look, we're in first place, right? We had a huge win tonight, man. It's awesome. Michael Conforto is a hero. Oh, it's fantastic. We're fine. Hey, when the number two team in a town makes a trade, I want to point. It's like the Dodgers and the Angels, man. I want to point out when the number two team does something good. I'm okay with that.
No, they're trash.
Nah, it's
the Angels, I mean.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, our Best Of podcast goes up right after the show is over on iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Download it, rate us, subscribe. We'll love you forever and ever and ever again. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it's there. Coming up next, well, now we can definitively say who won Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers. It's next on Fox.